Some of you may remember me from when I spoke a couple years ago, but I always like to introduce myself again, just in case some of you don't know me. I'm Andrea, and I grew up in the Massey, Indiana area. I'm a missionary in Zambia, with Heart of the Bride. You can see on the screen. I work in an organization called All This Heart. So I'll explain more about that. First, I want to show you where, Zambia is, so you have an idea. You can see up there, the top arrow, the black arrow, shows exactly the city is called Kitwe, Zambia. So I'd like to explain briefly what All This Heart does. It starts by, we work with street children. So it starts by visiting them in the streets where they're found. We have a variety of outreach programs. The next slide shows a few of them, the main ones that we do. All of them have the purpose of building relationship, sharing the gospel, teaching them new skills, educational skills, social skills, behavioral skills, and encouraging them that this is not the end, that there's hope for something different in their future. So through their involvement in these outreach programs, we can see who has taken a personal investment because they're attending, they're actively involved, and we choose from them who we can bring into our residential home. So we currently have two homes for boys. We are prayerfully opening one for girls this year. Primarily we work with boys because that's what most of the children in the streets are. And the girls are a whole different story of ministry. But we have a missionary from Evansville, Indiana, actually, who's planning on opening a home for girls this year. So you can go to the next slide. Once they come into our homes, that's where the real work begins. Because we're focusing on rehabilitation. So it's not just meeting their physical needs. They have to relearn how to live in a home with authority over them. They have to relearn how to live with family, people to get along with. And so we focus on their spiritual needs, emotional, behavioral, educational, all of those things. So the program is somewhat individualized. They're there for several years, usually. And then when we feel like they're ready, we start a process for them to become independent. Next slide. We have one boy, John, who has gone through this process from beginning to end. He's now living independently. So I have a video that I want to share so that you can see his story. He'll share a story with you. But before we do that, I want to explain. First of all, that's Freedom House in the background behind him. That's where our office is. And then on the other side is the home that the boys live in. I've put subtitles in the video in case it's difficult. He speaks English, but his accent may be difficult to understand. So there's subtitles, but there's still some words I want to explain. One being when he refers to town, he might say something like, when I came out of town or helping the boys in town, he's talking about the streets. The town is synonymous with the streets. And he also refers to sticker. Sticker is the most common drug that they use on the streets. And it's an inhaler. Actually, you would see them maybe carrying a water bottle. It would just look like this, only maybe this full. And it's just a gas that they sniff. It keeps them warm and makes them feel aggressive and helps them forget their pain. So that's the most common drug that they use. It also destroys their brains very quickly. So anyway, here's John's story.
Hi, my name is Johnny Ngandoe. I am graduating. I have already graduated from Abba's Heart, and I'm now an independent person. But I just want to share my life history, how I came to be part of Abba's Heart. I decided to start going to town to find some money to make peace work. Go back. I used to go home and 17 hours, like I go in the morning, 17 hours I have to go back. And by that time I didn't know that I was getting into a trap. So I started involving in so many things, like drinking, and I get even some boys in town who are already in alcohol, who are in smoking cigarette, who are in sticker. So I joined them. I started staying now, completing street, and that's how now my life in street started. And in town, it was not okay for me. Like, it was bad. The way I used to involve in those things, it was really bad. And I almost get even dead by that time. But thank God, one of my friends came to tell me that we have a program where the Abba's Heart involved with the street kids. So I get excited to join with them. So I started going, attending the ministry with Abba's, their workers. I noticed something like new for me. The way they were talking to the boys, the way they were doing things, the first thing they have to tell us about God, who He is, and what He does into our lives. So I get excited, and then I started joining them. They took me to Shoshofia and they registered me, and that's when I came to Abba's Heart. And I started staying with them in 2009, October 19. I started experiencing learning leadership through Abba's Heart, and I learned that God loves me so much, according to Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that He has a future, a better plan for my life. I decided that God is the only one who can take away all my sins I've done. He can even forgive me the things which I've done in town. He's the only one who can forgive me the things or the insults I insulted those people in town, the innocent people. He's the only person, Jesus, is the only person who can do that for me. And then I gave my life to Jesus.
Salvation in our Jesus.
2012, I was sent through Abba's Heart to a program like construction management to do some brokering and plastering. I graduated in 2013, 4 May. That's when I graduated. I'm now an independent person. I'm also working or trying to provide. Yeah, with my own thing. My experience with Abba's, I've learned so many things which has made me to be a man who can even contribute things into our society, our community, even helping my fellow boys in town. My heart is to see all the boys in town to come out from the town, to have a better life, to have a better future for them, like me. God, now I've opened my eyes. Now I can see how the boys, there is so much need, especially for the boys in town, in street. But I thank God that He has a vision for Abba's. He has a vision to see more the boys to be part of Abba's, to be future leaders of our country. So I thank God for that. I truly am happily to share these things to you so that you can also hear and see how God has done in my life.
Oh, who are weary and tired, come. You will find your rest in the arms of our King.
John mentioned a little bit what he's doing now. He's working full time. He works for missionaries in our area on the property. He helps maintain the property. He's also the worship and youth leader at his church. He goes out into his community weekly, almost daily, to encourage people who are discouraged, sick, disabled. He sacrificially volunteers with Abba's Heart. He asked his boss if he could take an afternoon off so that he could come and help us with one of our programs on Tuesdays. So he took a pay cut for that so that he could reach out to the boys. He recently bought his own land. That's him in the picture, standing on the land that he has bought. And he's building his house there on that land. He's in the process of doing that. He's also preparing for marriage. So that's motivation for him to hurry and build his house. Just a side note, John is selling purses to raise extra money so that he can afford to build his house. Here's an example of one. I brought them with me today. I'm selling them for $10 and all the money, the proceeds go to him. So, just wanted to make you aware of that. Please pray for John because he's sharing his testimony and Satan doesn't like his testimony. And he definitely doesn't like it that he's sharing it overseas. So please pray for John that he'll withstand every temptation that Satan throws at him and that he'll continue to stand for Christ. I want to go from there. The transition from the streets to independence reminds me of the account of Joshua's life in the Bible. You can go to the next slide, Austin. Thanks. Which also relates to us. So I want to share a little bit about that today and what that means to me. If you remember John mentioning in the video, the streets are a trap. So once they get in, it's very, very difficult to get out of the streets. And so they become like slaves to the streets. And Joshua's story also began in Egypt, where he was in slavery. Joshua was delivered out of slavery by God through Moses, and John was delivered out of the streets by God through Abba's Heart. And often when the boys come out of the streets, they think that they've reached the promised land, but they pretty quickly realize that it's actually more of a wilderness. It's a time of overcoming their past and taking steps of faith toward their future. Taking hold of the promised land takes a lot of work because they have a lot of giants to battle. They have to overcome addiction, disrespect, disobedience, so many things. Those are just a few of the things that they have to relearn and come against. When Joshua was in the wilderness, he also spied out the promised land and saw how difficult it was going to be. He was one of the 12 spies sent to spy it out. And he was one of two who came back. The rest came back with a bad report saying, the land is going to swallow us if we go there. We're like grasshoppers to those people. And Joshua said in Numbers 14, verse 8 and 9, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And those are the people who succeed. Those are the boys who succeed when they come out of the streets, the ones who understand that they overcome because God is with them. And I think we can relate all of that, the street boys, and Joshua to us in our spiritual lives. We've been delivered from sin by Jesus, and we have a period of deciding how serious we're going to be about this or not. Sanctification time, where we're struggling against ourself, against our flesh, and learning how to submit to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that's a difficult process. There are so many times we bring a boy off the streets and he decides to go back because he sees the giants he has to face and he's afraid that he can't do it. And we did the same thing in our spiritual lives. When God calls us to things, when we see how sinful we really are, we get discouraged and we don't believe that we can overcome. But I think the book of Joshua, and this is what I'm going to focus on and talk about a little bit more, that the book of Joshua isn't the promised land referring to heaven. I want to talk about it today as the promised land referring to our lives here on earth, living faithfully. You can go to the next slide, Austin. It began with a call to possess their inheritance, the land that God had given them. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn, but it's also on the screen. Numbers chapter 33, verse 50 to 53. And the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you pass over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their figured stones and destroy all their metal images and demolish all their high places. And you shall take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given the land to you to possess it." So I want to focus on the fact that he's telling the Israelites, and from here on out, when I'm talking about the Israelites, I'm also talking about us. He's telling them to possess what God has already given them. It's their inheritance. He has given it to them, but they have to go and take possession of it. Next slide. After the call to take possession, he called them to courage. And that's how Joshua begins the book of Joshua. In chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you." I think it's interesting that he says, be very courageous on this part when he's talking about following the word of God. It's almost, you can almost say he's implying to, it takes more courage to follow the word of God than it even does to go to war. "Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And why shouldn't he be afraid? Because God is with him. He's with us too. After the call to courage, immediately after, he also called them to unite together. Next slide, please. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. In Numbers, previously, there were two in the book of Numbers. There were 2.5 tribes who requested to stay on the east side of the Jordan, because they had a lot of cattle, so they didn't want to cross the Jordan and go into that land. But they promised to help their brothers possess their inheritance still. So Joshua and them were discussing this again as they were preparing to go into the promised land. And he told them that they needed to help, starting in verse 15, "until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise." And they answered Joshua, "All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go." So I just find this amazing because they had already found rest in their land of inheritance. And yet, they agreed to go until their brothers also found rest, to help their brothers possess their inheritance as well. wherever that takes them. And it took them to a lot of dangerous places, a lot of battles. So in our conquest to possess what God has given us, we're not alone. We have each other, and we're called to be there for each other. Because we're also all called to war. On the next slide, the Israelites set forth to take possession of what God had promised to give them. Over and over in the book of Joshua, they face battle after battle, and this is the theme of their battles. God tells Joshua, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Be courageous." He then tells them, "I have already delivered them into your hands. I have delivered your enemies. But you still have to go to the battle." There is one time they were against five kingdoms at once. In one battle, five kingdoms came against them. And God told them, "Him, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you." So, do we trust God to go into battle without any evidence of victory? I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Because Joshua didn't have any evidence of victory. He just trusted the word of the Lord. Also, when they went into battle, they were commanded to utterly destroy everything and leave nothing remaining. Those words are used a lot. Utterly destroy, leave none remaining. Which sounds extremely harsh. But God knows how weak we are and how easily we fall away from Him. So He wanted the Israelites to destroy any temptation to worship other idols. And that's why He called them to do that. And I think it's the same with us. He wants us to get rid of any possible temptation that will cause us to turn from Him and not take full possession of the land. And by defeating them, that's how we take possession. By defeating those things. Which is not an easy thing. After the Israelites had done a lot of battles and got their inheritance, one tribe came to him and said, on the next slide, in Joshua chapter 17, verse 16 to 18, their land had grown too big for them. They had grown too big for their land, I mean. So they were discussing with Joshua how to resolve the issue. They said, "The hill country is not enough for us. Yet all the Canaanites who dwell in the plains have chariots of iron." Then Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, "You are a numerous people and have great power. You shall not have one allotment only, but the hill country shall be yours, for though it is a forest, you shall clear it and possess it to its farthest borders. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they are strong." I think that's what we're called to do. And a lot of times God says, "I have given you the battle," but we think, "Okay, then I can sit here and it will come to me." But it takes work. So Joshua was encouraging this tribe, yes, I know the Canaanites are strong and the forest is there, but go and clear it. You have the power to do it because God is with you. So, after all of these battles, after all this work, in Joshua chapter 21, verse 43 to 45, on the next slide, "The Lord gave to Israel all the land that He swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass." And that's the same God that we serve. It's the same God that we serve. He gave Israel all the land He promised, rest all around, delivered all their enemies into their hands, and all He spoke came to pass. Now for us, taking possession of what God has given us lasts a lifetime. I think true rest will only come when we're in heaven with Jesus. In the meantime, there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of land to clear. There's a lot of people who need to also receive an inheritance from Christ. So that brings me to a question for each one of you that I hope you ask yourself on the next slide. What inheritance has the Lord given you to possess? I think every believer has an inheritance that God has called them to possess. For me, it's For me, it's the boys in this picture. It's the street children in Zambia. These boys live in basically a hell on earth. And Satan has his hands wrapped tightly around them. But I believe God wants them. That he wants to possess them and he wants them to be his children. So that's why I'm in Zambia. If you can go to the last slide. These are the verses I stand on. In Isaiah chapter 54 verse 2. To 3 and verse 13. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Spare not, thank you. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right hand and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And all your spiritual children shall be disciples taught by the Lord and obedient to his will. And great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children. So, can I be honest with you? I don't, in my time in Zambia, when I go to work every day, I don't see evidence of this victory. There are so many boys on the streets and they're so broken. And we're understaffed, we're underfunded, we're out of space, we don't have any room to take any more boys, we don't have our own place in town for the boys to come to. But all God's promises come to pass, and they will. I don't know how or when he's going to do it, but his promises come to pass. So I'm fighting to take possession of the inheritance God has promised me. And I want to thank all of you because this church is also fighting for this inheritance, the same inheritance. You have supported me and partnered with me. And this church has an understanding like the 2.5 tribes did that I mentioned earlier. You have brothers and sisters yet who haven't yet settled. Even if you feel like you've found your inheritance, you've settled and possessed your inheritance in Syracuse, there's people in the community, there's people across the world who haven't. And I've seen that you have committed to help fight for them to possess their inheritance. So I thank you for that. And I brought a gift. It's a Zambian flag. That's a Zambian flag on the slide to give to you. As a reminder, first of all, as a thank you for helping me possess my inheritance in the land of Zambia. And as a reminder to pray for the boys, to pray for me, that I will have courage to possess my inheritance. So I think that's all I have to say. Thank you. I probably talked too long, so I don't know if we have time for questions, but, yeah, thank you. Yes. Not necessarily all of them, but most of them. They're on the streets for a variety of reasons. A lot of the time, it's some sort of dissension in the family, divorce or death in the family. Most of them are orphans. No, I'm not. My role is I'm in charge of all the program, all the outreach programs. So I'm in charge of figuring out how to reach them. while they're still in the streets. So we have a Zambian couple who are house parents to the boys who we bring off, and then a Zambian man who is a house parent in the other home, two Zambian men actually. The house is about 30 minutes outside of the town center. We're outside of town so that the boys don't run, have separation, so they're not as tempted to go back. Mm-hmm. We try and keep our, we only have one home built right now, and plans for more, but we're planning on not having more than 10 to 12 boys at a time. We want it to be, that's still a big family, but we're trying to make it as family-like as possible for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when the boys get 18 above, they're at a prime help area because they're like, if I don't get out now, I'm not going to get out. But social welfare won't allow us to take boys into a home, our home with younger boys, understandably. Our second home, it only fits four boys. So that's the one for older ones. We're planning on developing it, but right now it only has four. It doesn't even have four boys, actually. It only has three right now. So we have one home that has 11 and one home that has three. Any other questions? Thanks, because I'm not happy that they came. Thank you. The possibilities are endless. we're always in need. To give you the top prayer requests, and then God can lead you how to be involved in those if at all. But, our prayer request is we do need more people, including Zambian staff or missionaries. We don't have enough to meet the need, not even close. We need another home. We don't have the money for another home. My dream is to have our main outreach program is a learning center where we teach the boys literacy and math skills and Bible and some basic behavioral and hygiene things. But we have so much more that we could expand, but we don't have a place in town to do it. We rent a place, so we have it for a few hours a day, but we need a place in town that we can call our own, that we can call our land our possession, so that God can just be at work in the boys' lives on that property. And right now, we need God to provide a property, first of all. We don't even know of a place, and we have $0 for it as well. So those are the top three things that I'm praying for. So if you can join me in that. Yeah. I don't have the numbers on that. For the learning center, because it's in town, it can cost even $100,000. I mean, astronomical amounts to me. Everything there costs more. The car that I drive, is a 2004, and it cost $15,000. I got it last year. I mean, that's how everything is there. To build anything that's gonna last takes a lot of money. So a home is probably something like that too, plus the monthly budget to keep it running. They transition in and out different cities, and some come for a while, go back home, then they come back, then go back home. Some are there all the time, and I've never seen them leave. But yeah, I've been in Zambia for 6 years, and there have probably been about 500 boys that have passed through the program in those years. So at any given time, we're working with at least 100 boys specifically who are coming to our programs. But they might be changing in and out over the years. But. Mm-hmm. Based on their involvement in the outreach programs, because there's such limited space, we put a lot of the work on them. And they have observed that if they come to our programs, if we have school every day, a sort of school, a lot of the boys will say, I want to come out of town, but they don't actually want to do anything. It's the same, they just want it to be given to them, but they don't understand that really change only happens as much as they commit themselves to it. So through them seeing their commitment to our programs, we see, okay, this boy is really desiring to do something different with his life. So we'll pick him. The outreach team comes up with a list of 5 names, and we pray about it. We put them in order, and we go to town and pick the first 2. If they're not there, we pick the next one like that. We try and leave it up to God as much as possible, not just our understanding. Because sometimes you get a boy you wouldn't have picked, and that's who God uses the most. That's who God works in. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not afraid to work with them. It is a lot different than like if I was here working with street boys or men. I mean, I probably even wouldn't. But they're much calmer. This year actually, because of Stika, it's caused some of the boys to go so crazy. It's the first time in my work there that I felt afraid at some points that I need to be with a male staff member or something like that. But usually I don't have any problem or any fear. At all. Mm-hmm. Abba's Heart. So Heart of the Bride is who I'm actually a missionary through. And they partner with people overseas who are working with orphans. So in Zambia, that's Abba's Heart. So people send money to Heart of the Bride, who then funnels it. It's designated for Abba's Heart. And then that's how our budget comes. Yeah. Yeah, I love thinking back to that time because it makes me have courage again. You know, it strengthens me because he did call me, and I resisted it for a while. God called me to work with orphans, which I knew, and so I studied social work in college. And then when my senior year, I felt God calling me to Africa, which was not what I was expecting. It was just, I was sitting in a chapel one day. I went to Taylor University, so chapel was part of the curriculum, and there was a missionary from Uganda there, and somehow, it wasn't like some major, like, thing, but I just felt in my heart that God was leading me there, and I ignored it for a while until God didn't let me ignore it anymore. And the biggest thing is he gave me Luke 14, which talks about counting the cost. And so I counted the cost to be a disciple and what he had called this disciple to do, and decided that I'd better be obedient because I would lose everything if I didn't. This is what he'd called me to do. So that took me on the process. And God led me directly to Heart of the Bride through miraculous things, and here I am today. I was not planning on being there 6 years, I can tell you that. But God had other plans, and I don't have any plan of leaving at this point until God says otherwise. Thank you so much for your time and your questions and for listening.